Okay, good evening, everybody. Shalom Aleichem, and welcome. As we begin the first of several shiurim, as we prepare for Pesach, which is several weeks away. Tonight's shiur is going to be somewhat of a technical discussion, an important discussion, but more of a focus on halacha, I would say exclusively. Be'ezras Hashem, next week and the week that follow, will be more of a little mix of halacha and hashkafa. So tonight's topic is one which is very relevant, very pertinent, and very important. I think that there's a lot of misconception which has been generated over the past several decades, and to a certain extent, I think a correction has been in the works for several years. But I think still a comprehensive discussion, which of course we can't do in an hour. We'll try to do somewhat of a summary of a comprehensive discussion is very appropriate. I can't say that I remember the time before the medicine lists, but I have a feeling that when I was too young to remember, there actually were not the lists of medications and cosmetics that were produced probably from the time I was certainly bar mitzvah age. And as I got older and older, so the list became a multi-page list, and then ultimately they started producing books, first booklets and then big books with hundreds of pages, literally, with every single item that you could possibly imagine, maybe not, but at least that I could possibly imagine, that a person would perhaps need for either medical purposes or for cosmetic purposes. And you would go down the list. You would see people in the supermarket with the list or in the drugstore, and it was either it was approved or it was not approved. It was known to contain chametz. It was known not to contain chametz. It was a suffix. And depending on one's situation, one's need, so a certain protocol would be followed. And the assumption that I think many people had, we better be careful, as a pharmacist just entered the room. Thank you very much.
I'll give you more work.
Okay. The assumption that many people make, naturally, is when you see such a list, particularly when the list is either produced directly by or with the oversight of a rabbi or rabbis, so certainly assume that the assumption is that this is something which is necessary. If it wasn't necessary, then why would anybody put in thousands of hours? And in some cases, maybe that's a gross understatement. Thousands of hours that are necessary in order to research all of these products to know whether or not they contain the chametz or not. So obviously, the implied assumption is that this is something which is necessary. You may know where we're going to end up tonight, especially if you want to cheat, even though I'm not necessarily sure that my guidelines are going to be exactly what you'll see printed on the back over here. But the CRC has, this is actually from last year. I couldn't find it on the website today, Pesach 2019. I would doubt that there are any differences whatsoever. But there are guidelines, and this is pretty much where we're heading, to say that much of the concern, the worry, the fear that people would have about what if the medications that they are taking contain chametz are really, I don't want to say baseless, that would be unfair, but really, for the most part, chumros that are really not recommended or not even suggested, not endorsed by the majority of poskim throughout the entire world. But we'll work through the sugya and see how we get there, and obviously talk about some differences. There are more sources on this page than we could possibly go through in the next hour, but we'll just try to have a discussion. In fact, we're going to skip the first one. How do you like that? We're already on to number two. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Samach Vav teaches that, and the conversation must start with this, that in a situation where a person is facing, God forbid, a life-threatening illness, person is taking medication in order to manage, to control, to prevent, whatever it is, something that could potentially be life-threatening, so it is permissible for a person even to eat and to drink chametz gamur, says the Mishnah Berurah. And this should go without saying, this should be obvious, but it needs to, of course, lead any discussion that we're going to have of such a sensitive nature. Whenever we're talking about things that are of health-related, so in general, in halacha, we differentiate between a chol sheyesh bo sakana, a chol shein bo sakana. So really, tonight, we're not talking about a chol sheyesh bo sakana. A person who's in a situation where medication needs to be taken, and any adjustments or substitutions may potentially be disruptive to that person's system. So then it would be forbidden for a person to make any such changes. And the fact that these medications are known to contain chametz shouldn't even be a discussion. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that he's not even talking about medicine. He says eating chametz gamur is something which is permissible in a situation where there's a cholesh yesh bo sakana. What we're talking about tonight, however, is a situation where there's a cholesh ein bo sakana. So over there, the Sharet Zion in source number 3 says, "Ube'ein bo sakon." If you have a person who, let's say, has, either could be a chronic condition, or not necessarily, a person, let's say, has a flu, a person's under the weather, also b'achilos chametz. It's not permitted to eat chametz. Aye, but he likes it, it makes him feel better. He's getting over a stomach flu, and the doctor said, you know, toast is very good, better than matzah. Doesn't matter. And even a small amount, afil mashuhu, because the halacha is that chatzi shir is also in the Torah. The halacha is that even a half measure, literally, but the truth is it could even be a half of the half. Any fraction of a full measure of a kezias, of an iser, is something which is also min haTorah, even though we know that a kezias of chametz is sort of the threshold by which a person would be culpable for karis, let's say. But even a chatzi shir is something which is also min haTorah. So a person can't say, well, I'll just have a little bit of chametz because it'll make me feel so much better, and otherwise I'm going to find it difficult to function. If we're talking about a cholesh ein bo sakana, that is not permissible. So you would think this would be nothing to discuss. After all, if we're here to talk about a cholesh ein bo sakana, the Mishnah Berurah just paskin that for a cholesh ein bo sakana, you're not permitted to have even a mashuhu, so then there should be nothing to discuss. We need to have books in our hands that tell us all of the medicine products. So the answer, of course, that's not so. Why? Because there's a difference between food and medicine. What's the difference between food and medicine? So, perhaps one of the most important primary sources for this conversation is a pasuk. The pasuk says in source number 4, in Parshas Re'eh, Lo sochlu kol nevela, la gerashem sherecha titnena v'achalo, mochor lo nochuri ki yam kodoshato l'ashem lokecha, lo sevashel gedi v'achalei v'imo. The pasuk says that you shouldn't eat a nevela. A nevela is an animal that was not shechted properly, an animal that perhaps would have been permissible for consumption, but was not prepared in accordance with the laws of the Torah, and therefore is considered to be what we would call treif meat. And the pasuk says, "Lagera sheb sherecha tadana." You can give it to ger. This is not talking about a Jewish convert. It's talking about what we call a ger toshav. Omachal anachar, you could sell it to a non-Jew. And based on this pasuk, the Gemara of Odazar teaches the following: Tanya lo sochul kol nevela ger sheb sherecha. You shouldn't eat nevela. Give it to a ger. Kol haru yolager kriya nevela she'en ru yolager ena kriya nevela. Which means that anything which is fit for consumption by a rat, maybe if it falls in the mud, if somebody pours bleach on it, I mean, these are just several examples, you can come up with many, many more, so it's no longer considered edible. Nobody would eat it. It's disgusting, it doesn't taste good, it's unhealthy, it's harmful. So the Gemara says an incredible idea, and that is that once food becomes inedible, it's no longer considered what it was originally. So it's not an nevela if it's not ru'uya lager, which means it's not edible for human consumption. And generally speaking, b'chol haTorah kula, this is a working principle, meaning, again, it's not very practical, because who's going to walk around eating food that's not edible, right? But conceptually, if you have food that was once edible, but is no longer edible, it loses its shem iser. It's no longer considered to be the iser it once was. So we naturally have sort of a halachic repulsion when we think about the thought of nevela. The Gemara says it's not considered nevela anymore. Once it's no longer roi la'achila sadar. Now when it comes to chametz, there's a chumrah that is found in the Gemara which takes this sort of one step beyond. The Gemara in Pesachim says, "I'm a Rava, chorcho kodem zmano muter b'hanah afilu l'achar zmano." Which means if you have a piece of bread that becomes charred, becomes burned to the point where it's really, really, I mean, if you ever see what's left in the, in the garbage can or something, after you do bir chametz, refes chametz, so you see what's left there, it doesn't even look like food, it's all dark, it's all charred, it's all burned, it's ash. So if it was burned like this before this man iser, so then it's muta bahana. And Rashi says over there, what does it mean it's burned? Kigon chorcha or yafa kodem zman. It means it has to be burned so much, shebatel tamo mariso. It doesn't taste like chametz anymore. It doesn't look like chametz anymore. It's not like it looks like a burnt piece of bread. That's called dark toast. No, it's really, you can't even tell what it is. And Tosos, in defining this, based on a Gemara in the first parak, says what this means is, kigon shenifsa milecho lekelev. The binyan achar lo havi shari. Says Tosos, the threshold when it comes to chametz, it's not enough that chametz becomes nifsa mechilus adam, meaning it becomes inedible for humans, says Tosfos, and really it's based on the Gemara, but in defining this, Tosfos says over there, it has to be what's called nifsa mechilus caliph. So, it would be interesting, I wouldn't practice on Pesach, obviously, but if you'd want to, put out a whole panel of different foods and see, you have to work with, a normal sample of people and see people and you get some dogs lined up and see, what kind of foods can we come up with which people wouldn't eat but dogs wouldn't eat. But for the purpose of our discussion tonight, we're going to assume that something is still considered chametz, even if people wouldn't eat it, as long as dogs would eat it. As once dogs aren't going to eat it anymore, so then it's nifsal agamri. Some of you may know I actually have a dog. I can tell you that dogs are, they're known to eat pretty much anything you'll put in front of them. There are exceptions. They're not as picky as we are. There are things that they'll just smell and walk away. Dr. Mike, who's not here tonight, but our in-house vet, so he likes to say, every once in a while, even the dog realizes after the fact it was a mistake and they throw up. So he says, where he sees his dogs, they send everything down to the lab, and every once in a while, they send something up. He sends it out for testing, he says. That's the way he says it. So, Lemaisa, dogs will eat almost anything, even stuff that we would call garbage. However, there's a certain point where even a dog won't eat it anymore. So the din is that when you're dealing with chametz, that is nifsam, achilles kelev, so then, it is not asr la'achila. Because when it comes to chametz, we're always machmir. Whatever is by everything else, we always take it. And there are reasons for that, right? The most important reason is when it comes to chametz on Pesach, it's an isur kares. Generally speaking, when it comes to virtually all isuri achila in the Torah, it doesn't come with such a serious onesh, a punishment. The isur of chametz is something which is very severe, not to mention the fact, as Gemara says, it's permissible all year long, so therefore we're much more concerned about people being forgetful and mixing things up, and our kelim. Okay, lots of good reasons, but that's not the reason. The Magen Avraham explains in source number 10, the reason why we're more machmir by chametz when it comes to other things is because even something which is not roi l'achilas kadam can still be used l'chametz bo'isas hacherim. Magen Avraham is actually quoting the Ran, potentially can be used to cause other things to become chametz. Again, I'm not really here to speak tonight about any of the chemistry behind medicine. Again, we have a pharmacist tonight who'll pipe in if and when it becomes relevant. But even when it comes to chametz, there are very technical discussions regarding the chemical explanation for chametz and how and when and under what conditions chametz is more likely to develop. But there definitely is a concept that Torah differentiates between chametz, which is what we would say cookies, bread, and pretzels, and so'or, sourdough perhaps, or something like that, which is not edible. You don't eat that. However, it's a very, very potent agent in the process of causing other things to ferment and become chametz. So says the Ran, the reason why we have a different set of rules when it comes to chametz is because there's already precedent from the Torah of something which is in a royal chilas adam, but still it's aser. So therefore, in order for something to become mutter, or really, I would say better, lose its shem chametz, it's not enough that people won't eat it, but we have, again, either it's higher or lower threshold, depending on looking at it, that dogs won't eat it. Okay? And the halacha is that not only is such a thing mutter b'hana, but the Ran and the Meiri in sources number 11 and 12 say it's even mutter b'achila. It's mutter b'achila. The Meiri is very powerful. Source number 12. V'adin sh'b'achila mutter. You're permitted to eat chametz, which is nifsam echilas kelev. It's not considered food. It's not considered eating. It's like dust. It's like dirt. Now, that sounds like a very exciting kula, but what are you going to do with that? Absolutely nothing. Oh, look, I learned this amazing thing in the shiur tonight. We can eat chametz that's nifsam echilas kelev. It's going to taste terrible. If the dog won't even eat it, I can assure you, you're not going to want to eat it either. But as we know, of course, as we're talking about medications, this may in fact become very relevant. Now, it's not the end of the discussion, because even though the Ran and the Meiri, and as we see, simple reading of the Gemara is that something which is nifsal, something gets ruined, it's inedible, it's mutter, even bachila, the Rush famously has a very important qualification, a chumrah. Says the Rush in source number 12, excuse me, 13. Yesh sherotzim lomar, lav davka hana duwa dinam elachila da'afa ba'amu. Seems to be quoting the random Eri. There are those who want to say that you can even eat this food. Velo mistaber, he says, I do not think this is logical. The avagaf, the butla datsa ochel itza kol adam, even though it's true that if one guy is willing to eat something that nobody else would eat, we would normally say, well, with all due respect to him, we're not interested in this guy's crazy tastes. After all, nobody else would eat that. Mikomakom, kevad ihu ka'achil le'yaser. Says the Rush, since he's eating it, what do you see by the fact he's eating it? He's showing that he likes it. And basically, the concept over here, which is spelled out more explicitly in the Mishnah Berurah, quotes this idea of the Rush, it's a concept known as achshavei, which means the person who's eating something, for whatever reason, finds it to be tasty. He's choosing to eat it. He finds this to be something which is pleasing to him. And so therefore, we can't say now, regarding this individual, that this is something which is mutab achila, because after all, the whole reason why we would say it's mutab achila is because nobody would eat it. But if you like it, if you're willing to eat it, so then we say achshavei, you show by through your actions that this is something that you like, and so therefore, memela becomes usur by you. So basically, just to review what we've seen so far, the halacha is that when it comes to cholashe, yesh bo sakana, a person who, God forbid, has any sort of life-threatening illness or anything like that, there's nothing to discuss. A person can eat and drink anything that's necessary any day of the year, Pesach, Yom Kippur, whatever the case may be, assuming again that this is something which is important for their well-being. When we're talking about cholashe ein bo sakana, so we haven't really gotten to the details yet, but basically we're introducing this discussion by saying, listen, on the one hand, the Torah says, as explained by Gemara Avodah Zarah, that something which is not edible for human consumption, so it's no longer considered to be usur. On chametz on Pesach, we say a little differently. It's not enough that it's inedible for human consumption. It has to be actually inedible for animal consumption. Dogs specifically, which again are known to be very not picky, that even a dog wouldn't eat it. And this would seem to be the prevailing view and opinion, and this is something which we would generally assume is mutter ba'achila. However, the Rush comes along and he says this idea doesn't apply in a situation where a person chooses to eat something. If a person chooses to eat something, so he's showing achshavei that for him it's good. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah inside, source number 14. He says, V'uhadin, the mutter bahana, ababachila asr. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have something which is nifsam echiles kelev, you can derive benefit from it, chametzam pesach, however you can't eat it. Midra banan achar pesach, according to the rabbis, until after Pesach. Even though it's not really considered regular eating because nobody likes it, since he likes to eat it, so it's also for him. And very important, the Mishnah Berurah mentions that that's an issur d'rabbana, meaning the Rush is not here to go ahead and to argue with the Gemara, but he's basically saying, d'rabbana, you can't eat it, because that's absurd. You're going to walk a guy walking around eating chametz that nobody else would eat, and he's going to justify it by saying, well, it's not food. Clearly for you, it's considered food. Now, what about when it comes for medicinal purposes? What if a person wants to eat something, we're not talking about medicine yet, but wants to eat food that makes him feel better, this is not feeling well, do we say that it's subject to the same, sort of, the same chumrah of achshavei? So the Yad Ephraim writes in source number 15, that what? He says, rakash ochel l'refua, second line, if you're eating it for medicinal purposes, for healing, mutter. So then it's permissible. Now we didn't say from the fact that you eat it, you want it. The chol yom muchalav she'eno ochle rak mishum refua. Says the Adafrayim, very important. When a person is eating something for medicinal purposes, for health reasons, it doesn't mean that he likes it. After all, you can think of a lot of things that people sometimes eat because it's good for them. Right, so we're not even talking about medications, but I think most people like chicken soup, but you can imagine a person doesn't really care for chicken soup, but we all know that a good bowl of chicken soup heals almost everything, and so therefore a person is told by his doctor, his mother, his wife, or whatever it is, you know, eat, drink this, it's going to make you feel much better, so he's going to eat even though he doesn't really like it. We don't say that's considered for him achshavei. It's not that, oh, this is my favorite food, I'm eating it because it makes me feel better. What are some other examples? Anybody think of any examples of foods that people sometimes eat as food, but most people don't like it, but eat it because of medicinal purposes? Maybe certain herbs. I don't know. Ginger. What was that?
Ginger is supposed to be...
Ginger. Okay. Very good.
And people who don't like it, gross out.
Good. They used to say, is it still true that like onions and garlic are very good for circulation? Is that still true? I happen to be, I like onions, but some people don't like it. But I could see that maybe a person who'll dafka go out of his way to eat extra onions because there are certain health benefits. So says the Yad Avram, when a person is eating something, again, we're talking about food right now, eating something, mishum refua, we don't say achshavei. The Rush was only talking about a person who says, oh, I love eating, I don't know, a spoiled piece of meat. I don't know why anyone would do that, says the Rush. If that's what you like, so mida achlei, achshavei. So obviously it shows that you like it, and therefore it should be asif for you. Okay, now let's talk about what about when it comes to medications? Okay. Did I skip what? No, I didn't skip. Am I skipping? I don't mean to skip it. No. Yeah, 16. So let's take a look at 16. The Shuvas Igros Moshe. Now, I want you to know, even though I don't have the entire Shuvah here, I want you to appreciate that I included in here who this letter is addressed to. It's addressed to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Shlita, although now Zecher Tzadik Livracha, passed away several years ago in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Greenblatt was, of course, for many, many years, the Rav in Memphis. Fascinating individual, many incredible stories, and he had an entire career of building up the entire Memphis community. As he was sent out there as a very, very young rabbi, he was one of the Talmidim of Hakim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. The reason why this is particularly exciting for me is because about, I would say, 15 or 16 years ago, just around this time of year, several weeks before Pesach, Jody Yasmin made a wedding for, his daughter got married to somebody from Memphis, and Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the author of many volumes of the River of Ephraim, was the Masada Kedushin. The wedding was in Atrium, and unfortunately for him, but very fortunately for me, we were both seated at the same table. And I still remember this. This is like one of those things you just don't forget. I'm coming to the table, and it was virtually empty, and there was a seat next to him, and I asked if I could sit down, and he said yes, and we had a very, very meaningful conversation. It was the first of three that I had with him in my life, and I remember very, very well asking him, not knowing anything about this tshuva that was addressed to him, but asking him specifically about this issue. And I don't want to jump all the way to the end of the shiur tonight, but suffice it to say that he felt very, very strongly that it was mutter for a person to take all medications on Pesach, regardless of the ingredients. When I pressed him a little bit just to understand exactly what was the justification of all these books and publications put out, so he had some interesting take on it. But needless to say, he didn't think it was justified up Halacha, and he kept on quoting his Rebbe, Rav Moshe. So it's interesting. Rav Moshe, there are several tshuvos and many, many verbal reports about Rav Moshe's opinion on this. Rav Moshe is known to be among many, many mekilim. But Rav Moshe writes over here in a letter to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt with Vayish HaRefua Shatatzorach Likach Gam BePesach Vatachoshe Shulai Yesh Shom Ezach Shash Chametz. Maybe there's some concern for chametz. This is source number 16. Hinei Kevan Shuhu. Oh, now I realize what happened. You have 16 on the first page. I don't know that I printed out earlier. I didn't understand what you think. Did I skip it? Okay. Yeah, we're off by a couple of lines. Okay. Anyway, so he says. Says Rav Moshe, since you're taking this in order to heal as medicine for recovery from a, it sounds like there was some sort of operation that was done. So there was this is not just person's not feeling well one day or had some sort of external injury, but this is something which is potentially very, very important for one's health and safety. So pashut tzarach likach afim hu vaday chametz. Definitely have to take even if certainly chametz. U be'etzem, he says af below sakana, but even if there's no danger, ein chshash the kvar niftal kodem pesach mishem elcha. This medicine, whatever you're taking, is no longer considered food. Already before Pesach, it was ruined from that state. The achshavei lo shayich bedavish al lekeach lerefuah daftavarim marumam usim notlam lerefuah. Says when Moshe is a general rule, achshavei does not apply when you're taking something mishum refuah. Now, if you look very carefully at what Moshe is writing over here, the lumdis is sort of the explanation as to why achshavei doesn't apply. It's because you're taking it for medicinal purposes. Therefore, we don't say you're eating this because you like the way it tastes or because you even consider this to be eating at all. Even though Moshe is talking about medicine over here, it would seem that this concept would apply to food as well. That's one reason why we would say that this chumra v'achshavei doesn't apply by medicine. The Chazon Ish, who came to the same conclusion, had a different explanation for it. The Chazon Ish is talking about specifically pills, medications of Yerites, Tavlaos Refuah Shemu'urov Behen Kemach. And this is often the case. The active ingredient, most often, in medications is not the problem. There may be exceptions, but generally speaking, whatever it is that the active ingredient that is really necessary for medicinal purposes, so that's not where the chametz problem comes in. The chametz comes in from the non-active ingredients, from the binding agents, whatever else is mixed up into the combination in order so it should stay together and be preserved and be digestible, etc. So he describes over here, you have tavlaos refuah, pills, shemu'ur ben kemach, and there's literally flour mixed up. I don't think it's usually mamish flour, but could be. If it's mixed up with things that basically are not edible, it's not considered chametz. And since you can't separate, once it's combined into a pill, you don't start separating the different compounds and ingredients and all that stuff. So you can swallow it. Even though the achronim write that you really shouldn't eat chametz, even if it's nifsam echilas kalev, when you have a mixture of this nature, the whole logic doesn't apply, because what you really want is the samim, which he means over here, the active ingredient. That's what you're interested in. So it's not considered achshavei at all. It's not that, ooh, you want a little kemach. It's not the kemach that you want. You want the active ingredient. I'll take your question one moment. I just want to appreciate the difference between these two opinions. They come to the same conclusion, namely that medicines that contain chametz are permissible for use on Pesach. But there's a very important difference. The difference is that according to Rav Moshe and the Yad Avram and perhaps others as well, anything which you take mishum refuah is not subject to the chumer of achshavei. Whereas the Chazon Ish says, He doesn't address that directly, but he says the issue over here is that the active ingredient is what you want, and the fact that it's mixed up with something else which is necessary in order for, in order for the pill to be produced the way it is, so that's not what you want anyway. You don't want the non-active, namely that which was originally chametz ingredient, so therefore he says it is mutter. Is there a difference between these two approaches? Is it what we call a nafkamina? So the answer is maybe, what happens if we're dealing with medications that are mixed up with something that actually tastes good, which is a not uncommon shaila? So let's say you're talking about, let's say, chewable medications for kids. If you're talking about certain, most probably liquid medications, there's no difference between liquid and solids for the purpose of this discussion. However, most often, I would say probably usually, liquid medications do actually taste better, because you can't swallow it quite the way you can a pill, and so therefore they're produced in that way. So Rav Asher Weiss over here points out in his Haggadah, and he has a discussion about this topic in source number 18, that it's not clear, but you could make a case both ways, that if you're dealing with a pleasant tasting medicine, so if you say, based on Rav Moshe, it doesn't really make a difference what it tastes like. The bottom line is, why are you eating this? You're eating this because b'fur refuah, and it's not food. I mean, it's the fact that they put something in and make it taste good doesn't all of a sudden make it food again. So then it should be mutter. So that's sort of his dilemma. He says he's not 100% sure, and you'll see from the CRC guidelines in the end, that's basically where we draw the line. For a non-life-threatening situation, we say, listen, try your best to find alternatives when it comes to something that has a good taste, liquid, chewable medications that may contain chametz. Try to find alternatives. Usually there are. We'll talk about some exceptions later. Yes?
Two questions. The first one says if you have a question whether it's kosher or not, or chametz, you should consult your rabbi or a doctor. Suppose, give you a hypothetical, you move, and you go to a rabbi, you go to a doctor. I would assume a medication that you're taking to save your life, you take.
It says here, do not discontinue use of liquid, chewable, or any medication without consulting with the doctor or rabbi. Now, people have to use their common sense. I mean, if somebody knows that they're taking...
Second question, is there a difference between a medication that's going to save your life and a medication that's going to make you comfortable? You don't need an opiate.
Yeah, definitely. Of course there's a difference. When we're talking about it, that medications are going to save your life, we already made it very clear, and I can't emphasize this enough, and that is that there you should not make any changes whatsoever, unless it's something which is with the complete and 100% support and endorsement of your doctors. That goes without saying. As a general rule in halacha, if, you know, even in a situation of pikuach nefesh, when there is an alternative that does not warrant, does not necessitate the violation of halacha, that's what you do. But I would never ever tell anybody to make any changes without making sure that's something which is fully supported. So the answer is yes. It definitely makes a difference between that and something which is only for let's say for comfort. Okay. Now there is one, well, maybe more than one, but there's one famous dissenting view over here. That is, so far we've seen that basically everybody says whatever the Rosh's Chumrah was, it's not going to apply by things that are taken for refuah. The Shagas Aryeh in source number 19 actually says even when talking about foods taken for medicine purposes, for medicinal purposes, there still is a reason to be machmir. Shagas Aryeh writes, "Mistabrili the ochin mashkin she'in ruuyin." If you have foods and drinks that are not really edible, afilu l'refuah aser the kevin the achla nachshavinu. Even if you take it refuah, it's aser, because at the end of the day, you're choosing to eat it, and therefore you're showing that this is something you want. Achshavinu. That's what the Shagas Aryeh writes regarding chametz. However, Rav Ashi Wais, in source number 20, says, if you take a look at the column on the left, the third line, he says, Ach mikom ekom, afa Shagas Aryeh l'mari ba'ochel trufos. The Shagas Aryeh is not talking about eating medication. Shebe'etzem tiv'om v'inyonim enu ochel ve'in behrana. Medicine, by definition, is not considered food. A person doesn't derive any benefit from that. It's not like after you take medicine, you feel full. Rashi Weiss points out that even the Shagas Aryeh that some like quoting and saying, but the Shagas Aryeh says that for refuah purposes, for medicinal purposes, you should be, even for that, you should be machmir. He says he's talking about food. He's talking about real food that most people don't like. But when it comes to medicine, not. And again, sort of the lumpus behind it, as we shift gears to the next subtopic over here, is that medicine is not food. Medicine is not food. It's something which is swallowed, typically, and it is something which, some people take with their food, but it is not food. So the fact that that you ingest and it goes into your stomach doesn't automatically make it food. And so therefore, based on the reasons that we saw, we should really not be concerned whatsoever what the ingredients are. Based on what we've seen so far, what would you say? If you have two pills available, one contains chametz and one doesn't. What?
And they do the same job.
You take the one without. Right. What is it that we've seen so far based on the consensus over here that would lead you to that conclusion? It's tempting to say that, and in fact, I wouldn't disagree. But just for, you know, for the purpose of intellectual honesty, there really is nothing we've seen so far. Meaning, this is different than what I just said, and I didn't mean to confuse over there, because I just said a moment ago, if you have to get to the hospital on Shabbos, and there are two ways to get there. Both get you there at the same time. A jewel drive or non-jewel drive. If that's the option, then better have the non-jewel drive, so avoid the Chil Shabbos if that's possible. This is not the same thing, perhaps. Perhaps if we're dealing with something that is, again, Nifsam, Yechilas Kalev, even though there are discussions over here, at the end of the day, what we're saying is, it's not chametz. Aye, but if you look in the ingredients, it says, but the idea is that it's not chametz. If I had two choices, am I such a rebel that I'm going to... No, I would agree with you. But here's where it may matter. What happens if you have two and one costs significantly more than the other? And I'm not even going to say what significantly means. You'll decide for yourself. And now I'll go back. When I asked Ephraim Greenblatt, so why is it that there's such a market for all these kosher medications? I don't know if I posed the question just that way, actually. So he went like this, which won't come up in the recording, but basically said it's all about money. It's all about money. But basically people are, there's a market for it. I don't want to get into another discussion, but why is it that that matzah could be $55, $60 a pound? Probably the same reason. That's a completely different discussion, but, you know, Shmurimatz, of course. Yeah, okay. So, there are people willing to pay for it. I'll push the question even farther. What about vitamins? What about something that is not, you know, your person is not taking it as medication? And I'm not even talking about vitamins which doctor recommends or strongly recommends. Just a person likes taking vitamins and takes a daily vitamin. So most poskim that I've seen discuss this say, you know what, take a break for a week. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what it says here. What it says, consult your rabbi. I take that back. Consult your rabbi. So, what? Rav Asher Weiss says skip it. Very interesting. Very good.
Unless it's part of your...
Correct. That's what he writes in the Minchas Asher as well. Vitamin skip. Rav Shechter writes that he doesn't see any reason why you can't have vitamins as well. You know, Rav Shechter is very, you know, when it comes to this issue, is, you know, it's not chametz. It's not chametz. Doesn't make a difference. Whether it's life-threatening, whether it's not life-threatening, with a big headache, not a big headache, even if it's vitamins ba'alma, Shechter says it's mutter, again, if it is a swallowable, tasteless or bitter pill. Then, you know, then we're talking about something that's not considered food. And for another reason as well, and that brings us to the sort of second part of the discussion, the Gemara in source number 21, the Gemara in Pesachim, says a completely different rule. Amar Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Yochanan, kol isurin shebetorah, all prohibited foods in the entire Torah, ein lokin aleyen eladerach achilasan. You would not get lashes when it comes to chametz of Pesach. You don't get lashes anyway. Meaning, if you eat it, it's not punishable unless it is consumed derech achilasan, which means in the normal manner that people eat it. Lemuyute mai. What would this come to exclude? Some Rishim Barashi lemuyute shim ad achol. Chelev chai shepater. One example the Gemara gives, it's not the only example. Let's say a person eats raw chelev, which is the fat, the part of the fat of the animal that's forbidden for consumption, or for that matter, raw meat, I think would be probably the same thing. So the Gemara says that if there's something that you eat that is not kederach achila, that's just not the normal way people eat. People cook meat first, or you know, or you roast meat, whatever it is, but you prepare it, you don't just eat it raw. So then, it's not considered what we call derech achila. And the Rambam writes this in Hilchos Sodei HaTorah, source number 23. Ba'med devarim amurim, said the Rambam, when is this true? She'in misrapin b'shari surim el makam sakana. When is it true that we say that you should not, for medicinal purposes, you should not consume forbidden foods unless there's some danger to your life? That's bizman she'in derech hanasan. That's when you are consuming and partaking of things in the normal manner of pleasure. A person eats a regular loaf of bread, says the Rambam, you shouldn't do that unless it's really life-threatening. For that matter. Now he's not even talking about eating. He says the person, they make like a bandage or something made out of chametz orlo, which is usually asabana. Or something that has some bitter substance mixed up with it, this is not something which is satisfying to the taste buds. This is something which doesn't give a person any benefit, any pleasure. This is something which is mutter. Again, not very practical for most of us because we would always, I imagine, you know, choose not to eat something which is shaloka derech achila, unless God forbid a person finds himself in a very, very, a very difficult situation. I was listening to a shir on this topic, actually, Rav David Gottlieb, and he mentioned that he heard years ago from Rav Amital Zuchorno Levracha from Gush that, you know, there's a discussion about toothpaste. I hope we get to toothpaste tonight, but if not, I'll say right now. And that is that even though when it comes to medications, when it comes to cosmetics, shampoos and soaps and virtually everything you can imagine, the consensus, the poskim, this is my opinion as well, to the extent that matters, is it doesn't make a difference what the ingredients are. You don't have to be concerned whatsoever. When it comes to toothpaste and lipstick, so there is room maybe to be a little more cautious. When it comes to toothpaste, what's the concern? Well, first of all, toothpaste does have somewhat of a pleasant taste to it, and you're putting it in your mouth, and you're tasting it. So even though you're not actually eating it, you're tasting it. Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Moshe and other poskim felt that toothpaste is fine even without hashgacha. That is Rav Shechter's opinion, because it's nifsam echilas kelev, because a dog won't eat it. There's a famous story they tell that a person once was doing the Rav Shir, and the Rav said, toothpaste doesn't require special Pesach supervision. Because it's nifzav echlis kelev, and he comes into shir the next day. He says, "Rebbe, it's not true. I gave it to my dog, and my dog ate it." So the Rav apparently said, "You have a stupid dog." So that was his opinion. You can't bring a raya from your dog. But I have a feeling, I've never tested it on my dog, I have a feeling that my dog actually perhaps would. And Rav Amital said, and this is something which there's nothing humorous about this, this is really heartbreaking to hear, but he remembers that during, or he heard that in the labor camps, people would sometimes take toothpaste and smear it on the bread. So I guess the point is that sometimes people do find themselves in awfully desperate situations and will eat almost anything. The Rambam describing over here that it's mutter to go ahead and even when there's no sakana to eat something, shelo kederach achila, is very interesting. But in my experience, I think most of our experience, it's not very practical. It does become practical when it comes back to the question of medicine. Meaning, we've already said medication that contains chametz is, again, in virtually every form, but certainly in pill form, is probably not considered chametz anyhow. But let's assume for a moment that it is chametz. Could we make a case that is not derech achila? You can make a case it's not derech achila for two reasons. First of all, it doesn't taste good. That's not derech. And there's another reason. You swallow it. Maybe derech achila means you chew, you know, you enjoy the taste, and then you eat. But people just don't swallow food whole. So this is the question. So, Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Shuvas Menchah Shlomo, source number 24, talking about this, he says, "Lekichas shuvas chametz bePesach mitoch shuva lehagon Marenu Rav Chaim Pinchas Steinberg." So it's very interesting. Shlomo Zalman Orbach writing a shuva to Pinchas Steinberg. "Lechori yesh ladun kevon dinaktinon shegam bebliya lo shum liisa chashiv gedar achila." Normally, he says, swallowing something without chewing is considered achila. Interestingly, where do we learn that from? The Gemara says regarding matzah. The Gemara says, bala, person eats matzah without chewing it, just swallows it. Again, please don't try that at home. I don't think it's safe. But in theory, if a person would just swallow matzah without chewing it, he would be yotze. That is considered achila. So Shlomo Zalman says, on the one hand, that's considered derech achila. In Cain, benidon didan, in our case, she'osim betchila sa'isa, shehi chametz nuksha. In this case, that the whole mixture is made together with chametz in order to make, you know, the pills easier to go down. Maybe say, well, this is like considered food for this person, and it's considered derech achila. Achaval became, look what he says, a tremendous chiddush. In the end, he comes out leniently, and he says the dafka ba'ochel gomor shuragilim lulos v'lechol rak ozamin yishgam b'liya chashiv gedar achila. This is only true when it comes to a food that normally is consumed, and then a person swallows it. That even if you just swallow it, is considered achila. However, b'davar de lo chazi klal achila, something which was never made to be chewed, omei rak levloa v'gam rak lecholim. Could go kama gululos, like pills, like we're saying. What an incredible idea. That pills, since they're never made to be chewed and swallowed, it's not considered to be derech achila. Ah, it goes in the mouth. Okay, that's it. It goes in the mouth. And as we know that when it comes to certain medications, there may be other ways to provide the body with medication, not only through the mouth. But the fact that you happen to go, you know, and ingest the medication through the mouth doesn't make it derech achila. Derech achila means something that would typically be chewed. Yes?
It's kind of a little off topic, maybe not. There's no such word as mortreif. Treif is treif, it's not mortreif.
Well, that's not completely true, but I'll accept it for now. Yeah.
One of them says you can't defame the body.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's no justification for cigarettes. Ever. Ever.
Right.
It's a central nervous system drug. Jews should never smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
But during Pesach, since we're on this subject, does smoking a cigarette become more treif?
On Pesach, because it contains chametz? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, uh-huh.
Yes, actually, believe it. No, I agree. So, non-Jews shouldn't smoke a cigarette either. By the way, not only Jews, people,
what's that?
All people, not only Jews. I'm just saying, people shouldn't smoke. I agree. I'm agreeing with you. So, actually, the next Shuvah in the Haggadah Menchasasher talks about that. I only read the I didn't read the tshuva, but I did read the heading, and it talks about smoking cigarettes on Pesach. I'm assuming the question is because it contains chametz, and that's an interesting question, whether that's considered a form of hana. I don't even know.
The question is,
but
we all know it's treif.
Yeah.
Should there be an extra effort?
Yeah, there could. A person can violate multiple... I'm answering your question. A person can violate multiple isurim at the same time. It is possible. There is a concept of more treif. Even when you're talking about different types of treif, the Gemara has a concept of hakal, kal tchila, that when you're dealing with different things, not everything is on the same level. And certainly, if you're ingesting one thing which is usher for different reasons, you know, so a person, let's say, eats non-kosher food on Yom Kippur, for example, that's considered more treif, so to speak, than eating kosher food on Yom Kippur or non-kosher food on a regular Tuesday. Okay? All right. Now, another question, which may or may not be relevant, since I already told you, you know, what the position of many poskim are regarding pills. But how do we define a chole for the purpose of this discussion? Normally in halacha, well, it's not normally. What's the most common area of halacha in which we talk about sick people, generally speaking, outside of the laws of refuah? Where does it come up most often? What'd you say? But in regarding what halacha? Regarding Shabbos. In fact, very interesting. It's so interesting. When you look again at the CRC letter, Pesach 2018, medicines, and bold letters before they even get into the guidelines, what does it say? For laws of taking medicine on Shabbos, you have to consult your rabbi. Meaning, we're not even talking here about taking medicine on Shabbos. That's a very, very complicated discussion. We're just talking about chametz. It's very interesting. So, but when it comes to Shabbos, so then there's a very important question as to how we differentiate between the different types of cholim. So there's a cholish yesh bo sakana, which means a person who is either presently in a life-threatening situation or has a condition that could become life-threatening if not maintained properly. Then you have, on the other extreme, you have what we call a mechush bi alma, which means a person who just doesn't feel well. You know, a person has like a slight headache, a person has like an ingrown toenail that's, you know, if he does something else, he doesn't even think about it. And then you have, there may actually be two categories in between, but we'll just make it simple right now. A cholish in bo sakana, which by Shabbos means that a person basically can't function normally because of their condition. It's not life-threatening, but the best example of that would be a person who has either a migraine or fever, not a very low-grade fever, but even, you know, for a normal adult, if you even have 101, 102 for sure, a person's knocked out, they feel that they can't go to shul, and you just, you know, you're very sluggish, a person can't sit at the table. So something which interferes with your ability to function normally, so that's called a cholish in bo sakana, and that activates certain very important kulos when it comes to Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman's question is, what do we say by this discussion of medicine on Pesach? Do we say that there's a certain threshold, and is it the same as when it comes to Shabbos? He's not sure. He sort of leaves it open-ended as a question. Not 100% sure how we should view that. And finally, just sort of get a consensus, a sense of where we are. La halacha in source number 28, the Nishmas Avram, which is of course a very famous collection of tshuvos and essays, and really a commentary on many areas of halacha from perspective of medicine halacha, really sort of like an encyclopedia almost of sorts in areas of halacha and medicine. He writes, "V'chein pasak hagon Avad Yosef." Ravad Yosef Paskin, that a chole she'im bo sakana is permitted to take medication, even though there's a concern that there's chametz, again, this condition we saw, as long as it doesn't taste good. If it's tasty medicine, it's a chewable, which has a nice fruity flavor, so best to avoid. This is talking about a person who really doesn't feel well. Not a person who just has, what we'd say, a slight discomfort. Let's say you don't know. And actually, you mentioned before, what happens if you're in a place you don't have a rabbi, a doctor? And it's leading right into Pesach, and you don't know. You could assume that most medications don't have chametz. It's been a long time since I looked at one of those books. I have a bit of a dilemma when people ask me, And I get them in the mail. So like I have in my office downstairs. And you know, people ask me, you know, I'm a nice guy. So if somebody wants to know if it's on the list, even though I tell them it doesn't matter if it's on the list, but if they want to know, I'm going to tell them anyway. But so it's been a long time since I really studied the list carefully. But he's basically saying, and I think it's probably a safe assumption, that most medications don't contain chametz anyhow. So if you're not sure, so then you could be mekel, even if it's just like I said, even just a mechush ba'amu, even if you really just don't feel well. What about when it comes to medicines that contain kidney oil? So it's actually more common than chametz, probably. So that's not a problem at all. Even, even for those, meaning Ashkenazim, who maintain the ancient chumrah not to eat kidney oil, that's only true when it comes to something which is food, but medications, certainly, regardless of every conclusion we came to tonight regarding achshavei and pills and the status of pills and derech achila, regardless, medicines that contain kidney oils are fine. If you're dealing with, medications like that have a nice, good, fruity flavor liquids, the one thing you should be careful of is at least not to mix it up with other kalim. So, there are certain medications that may be flagged as kidney oils. If parents are, let's say, giving a young child a liquid, I'm making this up, I don't know that it applies to liquid Tylenol, but liquid Tylenol, let's say, and it says kidney oils, so you shouldn't rinse off the spoon, in the sink together with everything else. Everything should be used, with disposable kalem. Just be mindful of the fact that there's real kidney oils over here, but as far as dispensing medication or using medication, that's kidney oils, it's not an issue at all. And I can't promise you that this will be a perfect summary, but I think the CRC should only be used under the direction of a doctor and rabbi who will judge the severity of the illness, the likelihood that the medicine contains chametz, and the possibility of substituting a swallowable pill. Okay, and again, important disclaimer, do not discontinue use of any medication without consulting. Liquid and chewable medications that contain kidney oils may be consumed by someone who is ill. An otherwise healthy person who would like to consume a liquid or chewable medicine to relieve a minor discomfort should only do so if the product is known to be free of kidney oil. So I suppose that sounds actually a little more strict than what I had said moments ago. It's not my place to disagree with the CRC, but based on the position of Shechter, says medicine, vitamins that contain chametz are fine. I think it goes without saying the vitamins that contain kidney oil would be fine, according to him. We didn't really talk so much about cosmetics and toiletries, but it should be almost obvious. Meaning, much of what you discussed tonight was only a concern because you're swallowing it, you're eating it. However, all varieties of blush, body soap, conditioners, creams, eyeshadow, eyeliner, foundations, ink, lotions, mascara, nail polish, ointments, paint, shampoo, stick deodorant are permitted for use on Pesach. It feels like a Seres B'nai Hama. Regardless of the ingredients contained within them, it's all permissible. You don't have to be concerned whatsoever. Sometimes it's actually shampoo that has a picture of wheat on the bottle, right? And it's considered to be a product that people dafka want chametz in their hair. Even that is permissible. You don't have to be concerned whatsoever. And no, you do not have to feed it to your dog to see. The general assumption is when it comes to all these things, they all nifsim echilas kelev. It's not considered chametz, irrespective of what the ingredients may say. Many varieties of cologne, liquid deodorants, hairspray, mousse, perfume, shaving lotions, and wipes contain denatured alcohol, and therefore should only be used on Pesach if they do not contain alcohol, or the alcohol is known to be free of chametz. If you look at some of the other guidelines and booklets, you may find more of a lenient presentation you find over here, but they're just covering their bases, the bottom line, and they're saying, listen, there are some things, many liquids do contain denatured alcohol, which may be a problem. Some assume that denatured alcohol in its current form, the way it's used with these products, is nisal anyway, it's not a problem. Such products manufactured in the U.S. may be used, regardless of whether the ingredients list includes denatured alcohol. And as I mentioned before, lipstick, mouthwash, and toothpaste, which contain chametz, should not be used. Again, Rav Shechter disagrees with that particular view. He feels that all of these things, mouthwash and toothpaste, even mouthwash and toothpaste, which taste good, lipstick doesn't necessarily have a taste. Some recommend getting like a new stick because, maybe it was contaminated and came into contact with chametz, perhaps. But these should not be used if they contain chametz. And for that, I guess the lists are, in fact, very, very useful. Any questions, comments? Complaints? Any? Okay. How's business for you before Pesach? So regarding that's a big one. So I didn't bring my booklet up here.
It's fine for Pesach, but should you get a new one?
being that it's something that you keep in the kitchen.
That's really, people have to know for themselves. If they're concerned, I mean, you know, there's kitchens and there are kitchens. And if it's the kind of thing that people, and is that correct? Those, in my booklet, there are definitely certain Metamucil products that are okay. Some are. You got to look at the list. Right. The difference, so what's the difference between Metamucil and everything we're discussing tonight? Because Metamucil often, not always, but I think it's you take and you mix it in with food, with the drink, right?
Mix it in with the drink.
So, right, so it could be that it's actually considered to be almost like a food the way it's typically consumed as opposed to, you know, something else. And actually, another interesting question, if you take, let's say, a pill, it's similar in some ways to the question we had tonight, but maybe a little different. You take a pill, person who can't swallow a pill, and you crush it up and put it in applesauce, let's say. So does it change anything? Do we say that like the taste is chos of an ear? Probably not. But this is, you know, these are questions that sometimes go on. Yeah?
So back to the liquid and chewables and things like that you don't know what they're from, so I assume you can't put the label and never put the label.
The labels are pretty useless.
Okay, so then anything, so you're saying you should be getting a lot of questions. Anything liquid and chewable people should ask you because they have no way of knowing?
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of lists online. It's not like, you know, a special Ruach HaKodesh over here. I have some books.
I thought that was part of the issue with the list, is that they were making, they had like interns calling somebody.
That could be. Listen, at the end of the day, we can only work with what we have. But the lists, they exist. And we have no, you know, we're better off consulting with the list than not consulting at all. Just because something is or is not on the list doesn't mean, that's halacha lemoshe mishum sinai, it doesn't mean it hasn't changed. Since the list has been nothing, no guarantees in life. Anything which is swallowable, anything which you tend to swallow and is tasteless or bitter, it doesn't make a difference.
Liquid, chewable, I assume that dissolvable, any of those things, you should look at a list.
Look at a list. And in most cases, for the people looking at those lists, there are alternatives that are available. Meaning if somebody always likes grape flavor Advil, you know, particularly for children, let's say, and they're going to go with the berry Tylenol or Motrin or something like that for Pesach, because, you know, they're just as effective. There may be situations where that's not the case. But generally speaking, these are all things for which there are substitutes and alternatives.
That's
yeah. Yes, correct. Right. Okay, thank you very much. Everybody should have a...